And amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Would you do that? Amen. Amen. Well, it is Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, but we're going to also look at Acts chapter 29 today. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Acts 2, and also be ready to get to Acts 29 here in just a moment. And so when we talk about Pentecost Sunday, and Sean did a great job this morning with the offering, really just laying out kind of what Pentecost is, that it's in the Greek, it means 50, and it's referring to the feast days of the Old Testament that came 50 days after the Passover, and the appropriateness of this being the Feast of Harvest, and the Holy Spirit coming upon the church, empowering us to really bring in a harvest of lost souls. And so today, really, it's the birthday of the church. So what you can do if you want to, why don't you just turn to your neighbor real quick and just say, happy birthday. Yeah. Now don't ask them how old they are, but it is okay to say happy birthday, church. So let's read from Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is like the go-to passage of Scripture for all Pentecostal believers. This is I can promise you that around the world today, Pentecostal churches are reading this passage of Scripture everywhere, because it's our birth. It's that describes where we come. It's our Magna Carta. It's our Declaration of Independence. It's our main Scripture that really speaks to who we are and where we came from and why we are the believers that we are today. And we know the circumstances surrounding this is Jesus had risen from the dead. He's been with the disciples for a number of weeks, and then he's taken up to go into heaven. And the last command that he gives them is, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples all over the world. But before you do that, you need something. You need an empowering. You need the Holy Ghost. Don't try to do this by yourself. We've all seen that TV shows and stuff that says, these are professional paid actors. Don't do this don't try this at home, you know? Well, what the Jesus is saying is, don't try to do this on your own. You need help. You need the Holy Spirit. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to Peter and John and James and Matthew, guys that have been walking with Jesus, who have been up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. They know the power of God. They know the Word. But he says, no, even that's not enough. You need more. You need the Holy Spirit. So I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to stay right there until you are endued with this power from on high. And so they're in there. I mean, it's day after day after day that they're in this upper room, this place where they've gathered as the church, and they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do and what does it look like when the Holy Spirit comes? I mean, because we look back with, we can see what happened in days past. We've got a little experience under our belt. We go, oh, yeah, I know what happens when the Holy Spirit gets poured out. Well, they didn't know what happens when the Holy Spirit gets poured out. They'd never seen anything like that before. So they're in the upper room. How are we going to know when he shows up? Well, they knew. Because when he showed up, there's all kinds of signs, manifestations of the presence of the Holy Spirit. There was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. There were cloven tongues like fire that set upon them. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And here's the beautiful thing. I think this is the greatest part about the day of Pentecost, is that it didn't just stay in that room. It didn't just stay in that room. Because you see, if we're not careful, we'll have an experience with God that we want to keep bottled up somewhere in a room. But that's not the way the Holy Spirit operates. He's not just, I'm here in the four walls of this room. This room's got a lot more than four walls to it. But anyhow, it's I'm here to empower you so that you can go out of this place and do the work of ministry that I've called you to do. And so the believers go out of this room. They spill out into the streets. And remember, this is a major feast day of the Jewish people. They have, they've been gathering together year after year after year on this feast of Pentecost. And to them, again, it's just the feast of first fruits. There's nothing really all that special about it. I mean, it's special, but it wasn't special like this day was going to be special. And then these believers spill out of this upper room, the 120, and all these people from all over the world, all these different languages, at least 15 or more different languages. And they're speaking in these tongues. But it's not just heavenly languages. They're speaking in earthly languages. They're speaking in languages that they hear and they understand. And they're like, how are these guys? I mean, they don't come from our country. How do they know the language that we speak? And so it creates this big occasion, a lot of questions. And they begin to ask, what is this all about? What does this mean? How do you get this? You know, and so Peter stands up and he begins to preach this message on the day of Pentecost. And he begins to kind of walk them through, going back to the book of Joel and the promises that the Holy Spirit has made to us, that God had made to us, and how that in the last days God was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And so we've got all of this going on, and this sermon that's being preached. And at the end of the message, 3,000 people come into the kingdom of God. Listen, that's really what Pentecost is all about. It's not just that we get to get together in church and have a wonderful time and God shows up and gives us goosebumps and we feel good and we see some wonders and some signs and some miraculous stuff take place. It's not about that, folks. It's really about us getting out of the church with a fresh empowering of God to touch the lives of people that are hurting and broken and need the healing that only God can bring into their lives. And so it was an incredible day. And it, again, a lot of times our story ends like we had this great service and it was a one-time thing and that was it. Not so as the church is being birthed here on the day of Pentecost. And it was not just the birth of the church, but it's the birth of the Spirit-filled church. And that's really what I want to focus on just for the next few minutes, is the Spirit-filled church. Now let's go to one more place, and that's Acts 29. Have y'all found that yet? Acts 29. Some of you haven't found that yet. Our guys found Acts 29. Guys, would you put that on the screens for me? Acts 29. There you go. There's Acts 29. That's Acts 29 right there. You see, because you are Acts 29. You are. We are. The church is. Today, we are the continuation. See, if you're looking in your Bibles, some of you are like, I don't get it. What is going on? They're saying there is none, and you're putting pictures on the screen. In our Bible, there's only 28 chapters to the book of Acts. But it's the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the church empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what the book of Acts is. And it's this history. And it comes up to this point and you're like, and then it ends. And it's just like, well, more happened. And yeah, more happens. More happens. And we are the more that happens. You are the more that happens. We, the Spirit-filled church, the Pentecostal church, the church born on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by God to reach to our neighbors and to feed the sick and to worship the Lord and to pray for those who are in need of prayer. That's the church that needs the power of the Holy Spirit to be more effective than we've ever been in reaching the lost and gathering a harvest for Jesus Christ. You are Acts 29. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are Acts 29. So three characteristics of this Spirit-filled Acts 29 church. First of all, they were a growing church. They were a growing church. And growth happens in a lot of different ways. And sometimes we get all nervous when we talk about church growth and, you know, you're emphasis is all on numbers. Well, I heard somebody say a long time ago, and they're right. Anything that's living and that is healthy will grow. You know, if you got a small child and they're living and they're healthy, they're going to grow. If you got a plant that's living, it's healthy, it's going to grow. How many of you know even weeds will grow? They will grow. I'm telling you, they will. They're determined to grow. And so we as a church, we need to be thinking in terms of growing the kingdom of God. It says in Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. There was a growth that was happening in this early church. And I want you to see this growth in a number of different dimensions. It wasn't just numerical growth. First of all, notice that they were growing in their attention to the Word of God. There was a hunger. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, when this early church got filled with the Holy Spirit, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That was basically their Bible. It was the teachings of Jesus handed to the disciples that they were handing off to the rest of the believers. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to know as much about God as you can possibly know. You're going to be like, I'm hungry. I want to understand the Word of God that's empowering me to do what God is calling me to do in my daily living. And so there was this attention to the Word of God, a growing attention to God's Word. Secondly, there was a growth in attendance as well. Yeah. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Later on, we read that there were 5,000 that were saved. Then we read about multitudes that are coming into the kingdom of God. They were daily being added to the church. And so this growth, when you are reaching people, when you're loving people, when they're finding out who God is, they're going to want to be a part. They're just going to want to be a part. It's a natural thing that they're going to say, hey, I want to join. Can I be a part of you guys? And so this attendance should be a part of the Spirit-filled church today, growing in our attendance. And then there was a growth in their affection. What are we talking about affection? We're talking about love. They were growing in their love. They were growing in their love for God and their love for one another. The Bible talks about the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fills you, you're not filled with a spirit of criticism and condemnation and thinking you're better than everybody else because I got the Holy Ghost and you don't. No. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be filled with love and with compassion to your fellow believers and to those that are lost. And so they're filled with this love. They're growing in their affection for God and for their fellow man. And then there was a growth in their attitude toward God's work. They were like, man, we want to do this. We want to be engaged. There was an occasion where Peter is answering after he's been arrested because he's out telling people about Jesus. And they're like, don't tell people about Jesus. And he says to them, we ought to obey God rather than man. You can't stop us. This is something we've got to do. And so there was this their desire to serve and to work, and you begin to see the body of Christ just beginning to minister to one another and love on one another. Listen, that still should be what happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only are we filled with the Spirit, but we're filled with the gifts of the Spirit, the empowering of the Spirit. And not all of the gifts of the Spirit are just speaking in tongues, by the way. Okay? I believe in that. Our church believes in that. We still have tongues. We still have interpretation. We still have prophecy. But not all of the gifts are speaking in tongues and prophesying. There's a lot of other gifts. How many of you have heard of the gift of helps? That's an important gift. The gift of service, where we help one another, we serve one another, we just love on one another. Some people, that's just, they got a natural knack for that. But then when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it just supernaturally empowers that. And we're like, I want to serve. And so there was this growth in their attitude toward the work of the Lord. So first of all, the Spirit-filled church is a growing church. Secondly, the Spirit-filled church is a going church. It's a going church. It says that they were daily in the temple, and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were where? They were in the temple, and then where? In every house. They were going places. They were taking this Jesus. They were taking this power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just gathering together in a church building somewhere and having a holy huddle, some kind of a secret society. I mean, no, they were taking it where it needed to go. They were going wherever they needed to go to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I wonder what our neighborhood thinks of Spirit Life Church. I hope that they think that we're a great church, that we care about the community, we care about the neighborhood. But some people might think, well, I know what they do. They get to church about, I see cars, they start coming in the parking lot about 8:30 on a Sunday morning. These cars, they just come in. And then about 12:30, all these cars, they just leave. And I don't know. I don't know what they do in there. I mean, maybe they preach a little bit, pray a little bit. I don't sing some. I don't know. No. We need to be a going church. I'm thankful when people come to our church. But we got to be going to where they are. Wherever that is that we are going, we need, in fact, it says go and make disciples. The literal translation of that is, as you are going, make disciples. It's assumed that you're going to be going. As you're going through life, make disciples. Anybody here like to fish? Any fishermen in the room? Got some women in the room that fish too. I love that. Yeah. How many of you say, come on, let's come fishing? Anybody ever said, let's come fishing? No, we don't say come fishing. We say we're going to go fishing. We're going to go fishing because we can't expect the fish to come where we are. We have to go where they are. And the Holy Spirit puts some go ye inside of us. The Holy Spirit empowering us says, as you are going, go and share this good news of Jesus Christ, and nothing can stop you. When you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, He's that power source. He's that dunamis, is the Greek word, that power source inside of us. When we have that power to go, nothing stops. People will not stop you from going and doing the work of God when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. You know, sometimes I think we're a little bit ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, He did so much for me, but I'm not going to really tell you about it because you might kind of laugh at me. You might mock me. You might criticize me. You feel with the Holy Spirit, I don't care what you think. Jesus changed my life. And Jesus can change your life. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that. People will not stop them. In the early church, prisons couldn't stop them. They were arresting them, throwing these guys in prison. Paul wrote about half of his letters to the church from prison cells. He's like, oh, yeah, now I got jail ministry this week. You know? People in the church need Jesus. People outside the church need Jesus. People in the prisons need Jesus. Wherever I'm at, wherever I'm going, nothing's going to stop me. The prison's not going to stop me. The prisons couldn't stop them. The people couldn't stop them. The persecution couldn't stop them. There were times where the church, a lot of the early church, they were persecuted. You know, we really don't know much about persecution as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ today. We really don't know much about it. We've been blessed to live in, I say we've been blessed. Yeah, we've been blessed, but sometimes the blessings come with a cursing as well. We've been blessed to live in a wonderful land where we can come and assemble with freedom and not have to worry about whether the police are going to come busting in the doors and lock us all up and throw us into prison. But see, that blessing, sometimes we take it for granted. We've taken the religious freedoms that we've got for granted. And I wonder sometimes if what's happening is we're not raising up some really weak Christians. As long as everything's going good, as long as God's blessing, as long as I'm being prosperous, as long as you know, I'm being healed when I get sick and all of the good stuff's happening, hey, hallelujah, I raise a hallelujah, yeah. But what would we do if all of a sudden the persecution did come? What would we do if to assemble like you have done today, next Sunday, if you knew next Sunday, this is a test. If you knew that next Sunday, if you showed up here, you're going to get hauled off to prison, I wonder how many of you would suddenly decide that, you know, I think I'm going to visit Grandma today. That early church, they were bold. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. It really didn't matter what you did to them. It didn't matter what you said about them. You could put them in prison. You could persecute them. Nothing was going to stop the early church. And we, as a Spirit-filled church today, need to have that power, that Holy Spirit power inside of us, that we're determined that we're not just going to be a growing church, but we're going to be a going church, going wherever we have to go to tell people about Jesus. And thirdly and finally, they were a glowing church. In James chapter 17, we find this story where the believers are spreading everywhere they go. They're just going from city to city. There's missionary journeys that are happening. Groups are becoming Christians. And things would change. I mean, when the believers got into a city, things would change. It would change the economics of their city. I mean, people that used to make their money selling idols, all of a sudden these Christians show up, and people get saved, they turn away from their idols, and now the idol people are all up in arms going, we can't sell our idols, we got to get rid of these Christians. And that's going on here in the book of Acts. And at one point, they're in the city, and it says, and this is how they describe these early believers. They that have turned the world upside down have come to our city now. What are we going to do about it, basically? They were known as the ones who had turned the world upside down. Their impact was making a difference. They were changing society because of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of them. We need to still be that kind of powerful church today. They had this dunamis power, and they weren't just sitting on it. They were activated by it. They were going places, and they were doing stuff, and there were signs and wonders and miracles that were taking place. They were raising people from the dead. Yeah, they were doing all of that. I think God still wants to do it today. I believe God still wants to empower his church. We're letting the light of Jesus shine. We're the city on a hill. We're causing darkness to tremble, and we're advancing the kingdom of God, and signs and wonders and miracles and healings and people being raised from the dead. I want to see some people raised from the dead. I haven't seen that. I've seen some incredible miracles. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead. Anybody want to volunteer? I'm not volunteering for you guys either. Anyhow, just kidding a little bit. But the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, working in the church. Listen, this isn't just a birthday. This isn't just a day to remember the past. This isn't just Acts 2. This is Acts 29. This is Acts 29. This is God still working in his church today, empowering his church today to do the work of the ministry that needs to be done. How many of you know that there's still plenty of lost people out there and they need Jesus? There was a time in our past where we were those lost people. And somebody went out and they found us and they told us about Jesus. They weren't ashamed. They weren't embarrassed. They told us about the power of God that had changed their lives. There's still so many that need to hear that message, and we are the carriers of the gospel. And church, you don't have to do it in your own strength. You don't have to do it. It's not about your personality. It's not about, well, I'm kind of timid and shy, and Pastor Tommy, that might be easy for you because you can get up on a stage and act like an idiot, and it really doesn't even embarrass you. It's not about your personality. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God inside of us, forcing us, driving us, propelling us into a harvest field that needs to hear about Jesus. Would you stand with me? Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, on this Harvest Sunday, Lord, will we celebrate the harvest? Thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to be the church that's going out after the lost and bringing in a harvest. Help Spirit Life Church to be an Acts 29 church. Help us to be a church that's going in this community, that's making a difference, that's empowered by your Holy Spirit, not going in our own wisdom, not going in our own strength, but Lord, going in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I wonder this morning, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there may be somebody in. And really, what you need is to start not so much with being filled with the Holy Spirit as much as you need to start by just accepting Jesus Christ into your heart, making Him your personal Lord and Savior. That's the beginning point. And the Holy Spirit, He's already present, knocking on your heart's door, saying, yeah, if you just surrender your life to me, I can change everything. Receiving Jesus is simple. It's accepting the fact that you're a sinner, that you deserve to die because of your sin. But believing that Jesus died on a cross and paid the penalty for your sin, and confessing Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And if you are in this place today and you know that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you right where you stand. Would you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you. Anybody, anyone in this place today? I don't see any hands raised. I hope I do see. Yes, thank you for raising your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Don't want to leave anybody out. You know that you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Here's what I want us to do right where we stand right here, right now. Would you all in this place join me in this simple prayer? And if you're watching online right now and this message has touched your heart, you know that you need to receive Jesus into your heart, you pray right along with us as we pray here in this room. Come on, let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm broke. I need you. I need your help. I need salvation. I believe that you died on a cross and paid the penalty for my sin. I believe you rose from the dead to guarantee me eternal life. And I receive your gift right now. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart, for washing me, forgiving me of all my past. Thank you, Lord, that right now I become a brand new creature. The old has passed away and everything becomes new. I declare now that you, Jesus Christ, are my personal Lord and my Savior. And with your help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Amen. Come on, church, let's celebrate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We celebrate. If you made that decision here in just a moment, in fact, I want to just go ahead and invite our prayer team, if you'll come and join me down at the front, all of our prayer team, if you'll come and join me here. Maybe you came today with some needs in your life and you want prayer. Our prayer team stands ready to pray with you. If you just prayed that prayer and asked Jesus into your heart, we want to pray with you, love on you, minister God's grace, give you some materials to help you to begin to start this new walk in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to just have a closing word of prayer, going to send you out as a Spirit-filled Acts 29 church. But if you need prayer, please come and join us. here at the front. Father, Lord, I thank you today that we're not just an Acts 2 church, we're an Acts 29 church. And the same power that filled that church in Acts chapter 2 fills us today. And Lord, maybe there's some who've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and as others are coming for one reason or another, maybe there's some who say, I'm coming today in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want that experience in my life. I want that fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, I just pray that people will come, and then Lord, as we leave this place, we would go in the power of your Spirit, expanding the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.